We begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Bas, or daf Kuf Chaf. We begin on the bottom line of Kuf Yud Tesim Beis, where the Gemara continues and takes off where we left off regarding the Bnei Slavchad, which was the topic of our previous Mishnah. So the Gemara had said that the daughters of Slavchad were wise, they knew how to expound the words of Torah, and they were tzidkanias, they were righteous, and they were righteous women. And one of the proofs of that is that because although generally when a woman gets married after 40, she will not have any children, however, they decided to wait until they were 40 to marry men that were suitable and were righteous for them to marry. And that merit, which was they were confident in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was that they would have a child even at such an advanced age, as the Gemara had left off, which they had a miracle like Yechabit. What's the miracle by Yechabit? Where we see that she had a child at a very advanced age, although generally women at that age wouldn't, she had that miraculous nature where she went back to her youthful age. Like it says in the Pasuk in Shemais. It says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, v'yikechas bas Levi, that a man from the tribe of Levi, referring to Amram, went and took a daughter from Levi, referring to Yechabit. Now the Gemara continues the top of Kof Chofa Mar Aleph and says, Efshir bas meya v'shleishim shana, we have a daughter that's 130 years old, as the Gemara later is going to prove that she was 130, v'kar la bas, and she's called a daughter, a girl, she should have been called a woman. Now, so the Gemara explains, how do we know that at this point in time she was 130 years old? The Amar Reb Chaim Baruch Hanina, like Reb Chaim Baruch Hanina said, which is brought later on the Perek, where the question was that, in general, the Jewish people called 70 souls when they went down to Egypt. The problem is, if you actually go through the numbers and count it up, it comes out to only be 69. So on that, Reb Chaim Baruch Hanina said, so who is the 70th one that's not mentioned? Zu Yechabit. That's a reference to Yechabit, Shahirasa Baderach, where she was conceived on the road down to Egypt, but Renolda Ben Achim, she was actually only born between the walls, meaning when they entered into Egypt. So when it says that she was a bas Levi, the Pasuk saying it actually means to say she was literally a daughter of Levi. She actually was the daughter of Levi, not just from the tribe of Levi, she was the daughter of Levi. Now, why doesn't actually then count her from the 70 people is because she, although she was from those who went down to Egypt, but she only went down in her mother's womb. So therefore, she wasn't already born to be called the 70th one. Now, Rashbam just says this, that it says that Leidos of Enochim, her birth was between the walls. It just means when they finally came into Egypt, it doesn't literally mean to say by the walls. It's just because when it mentions her conception, it mentions on the road, so it uses that same type of terminology that, and her birth was between the walls. Now, how do we know this? The Silik, it says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Asher yolda oisa la-Levi b'Mitzrayim, that she was given to be born to Levi in Egypt. Now, that's superfluous, because it already says that she was Bas Levi. Rather, comes to teach us, Leidasa b'Mitzrayim, her birth was in Egypt, but Vayrasa shalei b'Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Egypt. Now, how does that show us that when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, she was 130 years old, is because the Jewish people were in Egypt for a period of 210 years. And actually, Yaakov alluded this to his children when it was told, Redu Shama, go down over there, the numerical calculation of Redu, Resh being 200, Dalet 4, and Vav 6, is actually that amount of 210. Now, in the Brises of Seder Olam, they learn that from Pesukim. Because it was told to Avram Avinu by the Bris Bein Abasarim, Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lelehem, because your children will be converts, will be strangers in lands that are not for them. Now, which children? Who's his child? That's referring to Yitzchak. As it says, Ki bi Yitzchak ki kar l'cha zara. Who's your zara? That's Yitzchak. Now, regarding Yitzchak, it says that he would be Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana b'led d'slaysim. He was 60 years old when they gave birth to his twins, Yaakov and Esav. Now, Yaakov Avinu told Paroi, Yimeshne Mugurai, Shleishim Ashana, when he finally came down to Egypt, how old was he? He's 130 years old. So you have the 60 years of Yitzchak, the 130, and which at that point he gave birth to Yaakov, then 130 years of Yaakov. So you have a period of 190 years from the birth of Yitzchak, which starts the gullus of being in wanderers, till they came down to Mitzrayim, 190 years. Then you have the 210 years that they were actually Mitzrayim. That's a sum total of the 400 years, which was told Avram that for 400 years, your children will be in exile, not literally in Egypt. Now, the reason why you cannot say that all the 400 years were in Egypt is because Kahas was from those who had been from Eretz Yisrael who came down to Egypt. As it says in the Pasuk, Uvenei Levi, this was from those who were counted on the way down from Eretz Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim, were Gershon Kasim Merari. So he was already born by that point in time. Now, the years of Kahas were 133. The years of his son Amram were 100
and 37. Now, you have then the 80 years of his son Moshe, which Moshe Rabbeinu was from those who left, and that's only a sum total of 350. So you can't be 400 years in Mitzrayim when, especially since there was an overlap of their years. So rather, what does it mean when the Pasuk says Va'abdum ve'inu oisim arba me'ishana, that he was told that his children are going to be in slavery and servitude for 400 years? It means your children will be be'eretz lo'ilohem, in the land that's not theirs, but not necessarily one land that is Egypt. Rather, 400 years they will not be stable in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So comes out that Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because, as we said, they were there for 210 years. So she was born, as we just mentioned, when they came to Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when they left Egypt. So you're left from 210 minus that 80, you're left with 130. And that must have been, therefore, Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question then is, now that we just proved she was 130 years old, v'amai karu lo bas, so why is she called a daughter? Meaning this was talking about that when Amram went back, as we'll shortly explain, and married Yocheved, and from that union had Moshe Rabbeinu, she's 130 years old. Why is she called a bas? It's because she was like a little girl. She then had the signs of youthfulness. We're in this Adin Habasar, that is, her skin was smooth like a little girl. Nispash to Hakmatan, the wrinkles became undone. V'chasa yefilim kaimai, her beauty came back to its place. And that was what the Gemara was continuing from the previous daf, that just like the B'nai Slavchad were modeled after the Bas of Levi, where here she was, Yocheved was 130, and yet she gave birth like a young woman. That was what B'nai Slavchad had the same confidence, where they waited till they were 40 and were confident they'll have the miracle like Yocheved. Now, continuing on this theme, once we introduced it regarding Yocheved Bas Levi, so the Gemara goes to a pasuk in Shemais that says, as we referenced this pasuk before, it says, "Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es Bas Levi." Now, the question the Gemara asks, it says Vayikach, that Amram took Yocheved as a wife, but Vayachzim Eboile, it should have said that he retook her as a wife. Because actually, this has already been a while that he had originally married her. Because he already had from the union with Yocheved, Aaron and Miriam. It's just that at this point in time, Amram had separated from his wife because of the decree that they were throwing all the male children in Egypt into the river. And he says, why am I having more children? So that they just be killed? But now he retook his wife in union, because his daughter Miriam had a prophecy that he's going to end up having a child from her that will save the Jewish people. As Gemara in Sita Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis explains, where the pasuk says, Miriam hanavia achayis Aaron, that Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, the sister of Aaron, not the sister of Moshe? Rather means that she had a prophecy when she was Aaron's sister, not Moshe's sister, because Moshe wasn't born then. That's when she had this prophecy, where she prophesied that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to end up being born from the union if her father gets back to her mother. So the question then becomes, so why does it say v'yikach? It should say v'yachzeh, that he took her back. On that, I'm Rebbe Bar Zvida, he says, malamit she'asa l'mais l'kuchen. It comes to teach that he made an act of marriage, which is called l'kuchen, as the Gemara Kedushin says, which he made like a whole chasna. In other words, he should have just gone right back to her. He made like a whole new chasna, a yeshiva by a period, and he put her on this type of chair that the kala goes on. The Aaron and Miriam, Mishrem Lefanel, and her two children, Aaron and Miriam, were singing in front of her out of great joy, because they knew that the great leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, was going to come out of them, as it says in the Pasuk, where after Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown, actually by his mother, into the river, says Leyedea Mayasle, she wants to know what's going to be. She wants to know what's going to be the end of her prophecy, because she knew that this child had to be the leader of the Jewish people. So they were so excited, dancing in front of their parents when they're get back together again. Umalachi Sharis Omerman, the ministering angels were saying, the Pasuk in Tehillim and Halal, Ema Banim Samecha, the mother of the children is glad, she has her kids so excited that they're getting back together again. Now the Gemara goes back to what we were discussing in the previous daf regarding the topic of a Mishnah of B'nai Slavchad. The Gemara says that Lahalan, later on, when the daughters of Tzlavchad end up getting married, Saman HaKasav Derech Gedulusan, so the Torah counts them in the order of their age, where it says, V'tiyena, Machla, Sirtza, Chalgo, Milka, Benoyo, these are B'nai Slavchad, that L'B'nai D'Dain L'Noshim, they got married to their cousins for wives. Now, it's just logical to say that it's saying the birth order in their age, because as Bereshis Chavtes says, Lo yasekin b'mkemenu losa satzir lefine bechira, that Lavan told Yaakov pretty obviously that we don't usually have the younger child going and getting married before the older child. So it makes sense that the order of the marriage was older to younger. Now, Vakan, whereas over here, which we were discussing in our context of our parak and our previous Mishnah regarding the laws of inheritance, when they were standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were counted der chachmasan, in the order of how wise they were, one more than the other, that's the order of the pasuk, as we find it has a different order over there. Has machla noya chogla milka v'sirtza. Now, the Gemara is saying this based on what's called svara, out of logic, so that it shouldn't contradict the psukim, because why one does have one order and the other one has a different order? Says the Gemara, so misayelu Rabami, so this supports Rabami. With the Amr Bami, Rabami said that it actually depends on the context, what is the order? And that is, be yeshiva, when there's in the study hall, whether it's for, let's say, litigating a court case, or for either any assembly of Torah teachings, then you go after wisdom. In other words, then you put the wise person higher than the elderly person. As actually the Gemara is going to shortly clarify, it means that the wise person is that much, way far beyond, head and shoulders, wiser than the other, his colleagues, because he's very smart. But if he's just a little bit smarter than the elderly person, then you don't honor him more than the elderly person, who's also a little bit wise. Now, this we learn out from the daughters of Tzlavchad, because that context over there was when they were asking the halacha, and the order of where that we place them is the wiser, the smarter daughter, was counted before the other ones. Now, b'mesiba, regarding being sitting around for a party, whether it be a festivity or for a chasna, then halacha achar zikna, then you go after age, the one that's mo'adli, he sits higher up than the rest. And you see this context where we see, depending on what it is, who goes first regarding Torah teachings, then the wise one regarding, let's say, getting married, regarding things of other things, then you have the older one first. Now, however, as we mentioned before, Amar Vashi, he qualifies this halacha. He says, but v'hu d'maflik, this is only if the wise person is way above b'chachma in his wisdom, then you go after the wisdom and not after elderly, after the old age. So too for the other halacha, b'hu d'maflik b'zikna, it's only if the person that's older is that much older, then you give him that honor regarding, let's say, by a chasna, some type of festivity, more than the wise person, even though that wise person is very, very, very smart in Torah learning. But again, it has to be at least that elderly person is also at least a little bit smart in Torah teaching too. But if, let's say, he's not that much older than the rest, then we honor and we make preference for the Chacham more than the Zakan, even for Mesiba. Now, Rashbam actually says that we learn from here that when you have a very large Chacham and you have someone that's very old, that's not as wise as even like a Yeshiva Bachar, then you go after wisdom where you put the Chacham first and you let him talk first. Whereas by a Mesiba, by something that's not regards to Torah, then you go after old age. Now, says Rashbam, where the Chacham is very, very smart in Torah, and the elderly person is not so old, so then you're always going to go after Chachma, even by a Mesiba, even by, let's say, by a Chasna. Now, where the Zaken is very old, and the Chacham is not such a big Chacham, then says Rashbam, then you're always going to go after Zikna, after the elderly person, even when it comes to Yeshiva, Torah type of gatherings. The reason being is because since that elderly person is at least a little bit smart in learning, even if a Yeshiva Bachar is smarter than him. Now, neither one is so far above and beyond. Not the Chacham in Chachma, and not the older person in his age. Then says Rashbam, it would seem that you're always going to go after the Zaken, the one that's elderly. From the fact that Rav Ashi said that these halachas apply for precedence is only if the Chacham is very, very smart, and the Zaken is very old. That's when the halach is that regarding these two contexts, regarding yeshiva, you'll go after the Chacham, but the Mesiba, you'll go after the Zaken. Now the inference is when they neither are so muflug, then neither one or the other, then you're not going to go depending on the context. Then you'll always go after the one or the two of them. But it doesn't specify which one you'll go after. So therefore you could say that you would assume that you would go after the elderly person, because the young man that's very smart in Torah, who is a little bit more than the other one, we shouldn't, because of that, embarrass the elderly person, because the wise person's not going to be so embarrassed because he knows, because the other person's elderly, that's why, because of his age, they're letting him and honoring him before him. If it's a Rashbam in that situation where neither one is so much far and beyond the other one, you'll go with the Zalkin over the Chacham. Now, however, although we explained regarding the contradictory psukim of the order of the Benay Slavcha to say that it depends on the context, the Gemara actually brings a different mahalach. Tanu Beir Bishmol, it was taught in the Braisa Bishivir Bishmol, that actually Benay Slavchot Shkula Sayu. Actually, the doors of Slavchot were equal. Now, that is why sometimes it says this one before that one, and sometimes the other way around, as the Gemara makes a similar drasha elsewhere when it says in the Torah, Hu Aaron and Moshe, and sometimes it says, Hu Moshe Aaron. Why sometimes one before the other, is to tell you that they're equal, and actually that it does not support Rabbami. Now, how do we know this? Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Bamidbar, but it says, Vatiyena, where it says that they were, Machla Masutza goes to who they were. What's the word Vatiyena? It's superfluous because it could have just said, B'nai Tzlavchad, L'bnei Dodein, L'nashem, that the daughter of Tzlavchad got married to their cousins as wives. What's Vatiyena? That they were. It's coming to tell you from the Sherish Havaya. Havaya Achaz HaKul, it was one essence. The word Havaya is really Hashem's name, which is what reality is. There was one reality to all of them. They were all the same. They were all equal. That's actually why the order changes, to tell you that there was no precedence one in the order. They were actually both equal. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul says, B'nai Slavchad, as we alluded to this halacha in the previous daf, Hutruli Nasi L'chal HaShvatim. They were actually permitted to get married to any man from any tribe, even though actually at that point in history, any woman that was inheriting was actually forbidden to get married to a man from a different tribe, as we were concerned that they're going to transfer to another one. They were allowed to. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, says Latayv bein neim tiyena l'nashim. Hashem said that for whoever they find favor, they could go ahead and be wives to. Now elamanim and mekayim. So then, why do I fulfill what the pasuk says over there? Ach, but however l'mishpachas matei avim tiyena l'nashim, for the family from the tribe of their father, they should be wives. That seems to say it has to be from their tribe. Says the Gemara, Eitz HaTayva Hisina Kasev, the Torah is just giving them good advice, but it's not a positive commandment, Shalei Yenasu El Lahogin Lehem, that they should only get married to someone that's appropriate for them, but it wasn't a commandment, they were able to get married to whoever they wanted to. Now, this halacha, Meisav Rabbah. Rabbah, however, asks from the following braisa. The Pasuk says in Yikra, Emar Alehem, where the Pasuk there continues, says, say to the Jewish people, L'derisechem, for your generations, Kalesha Sheyikrav Mekol Zarachem El HaKadoshim, that any one of your descendants that will sacrifice to the kachem, to a carbon, ashikdisha b'nei Yisrael Hashem, that the Jewish people are sanctified to Hashem, the tumasa love and the state of impurity. Well, that's a violation. That's forbidden to do. Now, says the Braisa, what's emar aleihem? Lo'isin oimdim al Har Sinai was referring to those who stood by Har Sinai. That's who the pasuk was teaching for that generation, to teach them this halacha that's forbidden to be tamei when you're in contact with kachem. But then when the pasuk says l'darisechem, for your generations, that comes to tell you regarding the future generations. And actually, this is where, from where we learn that the halacha, that whenever a mitzvah is said in the Torah without specification, that it would be applying both to their fathers, meaning who stood at Har Sinai, and to all future generations. Now, continues and says the Braisa, Ibn Emor Avos, but if already told us regarding the fathers, that they have to keep the mitzvah, Lamanem Abanim. So why does it have to specify regarding their children that the same thing applies? And the Imnim Abanim, and if it tells us regarding the children, regarding L'derisechem, so L'manem Avos, so why does it have to specify you, which is the terminology of Emar Lehem? Why does it have to say regarding the father? Why would we think to differentiate? Says the Braisa, Memnei Sheyesh Ba'avos Masha'im Babanim, because we find that there are certain halachas that apply only to that generation, which do not apply to the children, to the future generations of the Jewish people. And B'yesh B'banim Masha'im Ba'avos, and we find that there are certain halachas that apply only to the future generations, and not to that generation. Now, where do we find the difference? Because Ba'avos Ho'aymer, regarding that generation, their fathers, meaning the generation of Har Sinai, the pasuk says, Bamidbar v'chol bas yireshes nachala, did any daughter that inherits an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, which that halacha was said regarding those who left Egypt, as the Gemara says later on, which tells us, which as the pasuk there teaches, that they're not going to get married to a man from a different tribe. But actually the future generations doesn't have this isser of transferring an inheritance when a daughter inherits and gets married to a man from a different tribe, which then it gets transferred, that inheritance, to another tribe. And so too, the other way around. The harba mitzvahs nitzdav banim, and there are many mitzvahs that the future generations were commanded, shalei nitzdav avos, that the generation of the desert did not have, which are primarily the mitzvahs atluyis ba'aretz, the mitzvahs that are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Truma, Meisr, Chala, Arla, Netar Avai, Leket, Shecha, Pei, and many other such mitzvahs. So, therefore, I would have thought to say that maybe it applies to one and not to the other. Says the Braisa, so since there are those that apply to the fathers that not to the sons, and there are those that apply to the sons and not to the fathers, so therefore, that's what we have to say, a specification in this pasuk that applies to the fathers, to that generation, and it applies to the future generations. Because if it would have just said unspecified, and it would not have specified that it applies to the fathers or to the sons, then I would have said either one. I could have said that it only applies to that generation from the fact that it doesn't say kisavayu, that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, like it does to many other mitzvahs that it talks about the future generations, I would have thought it doesn't apply to future generations. Or actually, I would have learned either through Gzeres Shava or Binyan Av or Kal Vachomer from one of the other mitzvahs that are explicit regarding the sons or the fathers, I would have said it applies to either one or to the other. That's why I had to mention the pasuk, both the fathers and the sons. As Rashbam says, this is actually from what we learned, as we mentioned before, for all unspecified mitzvahs, that it applies to both that generation and future generations until the Torah specifies to you that it's one and not the other. Let's say if it would say only kisavayu, which then I would know it's only for future generations when they come to Eretz Yisrael, or if it would say zehadavar, which as the Gemara will shortly explain, that comes to say that it only applies to this generation and not to the future generations. So that's why I have to say both. Says the Gemara, Ketani Mias, and this is Rabbi's question, but one thing that we learn here in the Braisa is Bo'avu So Aimer, the Braisa said that it's only regarding that generation that it says V'chol Basi Reshes Nachla. But what is it that applies to that generation? That every daughter that inherits a part in Eretz Yisrael is not allowed to get married to a man from a different tribe. So how can you say that the daughters of Tzlafchut, who are from that generation of going into Eretz Yisrael, were allowed to marry a man from a different tribe? But it says Lisisev and applies to every daughter. And that says the Gemara, who might have loved Mufarakla. So he asked the question and he gave the answer. Labarmam, nice Slavchot. You're right, but it was everyone besides the daughters of Slavchot. Because this halacha of Cholbasi Rishas Nachla was not going on the daughters of Slavchot, because the Pasuk explicitly excluded them from that when it said, L'toyf Benim, Tiyil Anashim, that they could choose whoever man that fits favor in their eyes, even a man from a different tribe. Now, the Gemara goes back once we introduce this Braisa and explains it. Amamar. The Braisa said, regarding that generation, meaning the fathers, those who left the what's called the Dar Deya, the generation of the of that of knowledge of the Midbar, regarding them, that generation had the halacha, the ones that then came into Eretz Yisrael, that the daughter who inherits the Nachla, a portion of Eretz Yisrael, is not allowed to marry a man from a different tribe. Now, that we said, oh, that only applied to that generation and not to the future generations. And we had some of the future generation, not that generation. That's what he said. You have to say both. And that asked the Gemara, Ba'avis in Bebanim Loi? Is that really true that halacha of not having a woman who inherits to marry another tribe only part of that generation and not the future generations? Asked the Gemara, Mai Mashma. What do you see from this pasig that it was only talking about for that generation and not for all future generations? On that, Amar Rava, he says, because Amakra, the pasig there says, Zehadavar, it says that this is the thing Ashativa Hashem Lebnei Slavchad, that Hashem commanded to the daughters of Slavchad, etc. And it says, V'loi Sisav Nachla, the two psukim later, it says, and that because they shouldn't go ahead and transfer the inheritance from their tribe, from their father's tribe, to a different tribe. Now, as Rashbam explains, obviously, the Zehadavar, this thing, was not going on the daughters of Tzlavchad regarding their permissibility to marry a man from a different tribe. Rather, it was going on what it says later, Amachol Basi Reshes Nachla, that any daughter that inherits, which it says after that, it says, V'loi Sisam Nachla, that they should not go ahead and deviate and transfer to another tribe. So since it says Zehadavar, that teaches us, Davar Zeh Lo Yehei Noig El Bader Zeh. This thing only applies in this generation. Like Rashi Masechtas Taina says, the word Zeh sounds like this. It's a meat, it's exclusionary term, which is saying that this thing should only apply in this generation, which is in the generation of Bnei Slavchad, but all future generations don't have the problem of a woman marrying a man from a different tribe. But now the Gemara asks, is that really so? The word Zeh Adavar tell us that it only applies this context and not in another one? But Amalei Rabbi Zutel Ravashi says, but if that's the case, take a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, Zeh Hadava, when it says in the pasuk, this is the thing in the context of the Shchutei Chutz, which is the Torah tells us, Zeh Hadava Shatziv Hashem Lema. This is the thing that Hashem commanded, saying, Ish Ish Mevnei Yisrael, any man from the Jewish people, Asher Yishchad, Shar, Aches, Ve'ez, B'machnev, is going to slaughter any one of these animals, which is a carbon, not in where it's supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside in the camp, oh, that's forbidden to do. So in that he asked, so similarly that halacha would only apply this warning about sacrificing the carbon out of where you're allowed to, only in this generation of the Midbar when the Torah was taught? But we know that it applies to all future generations. And that answers Rav Ashi. He says, no, Shani Hassan, there it's different. I know it says over there Zehad Davar also, because it says later on, where it says, Chukas Eilim Tiyaz Islam, that an eternal statute there should be for them, L'day Raisam, for all future generations. So you're right, Zehad Davar would usually exclude, but here you have the term L'day Raisam clearly saying that the Isra of Shchut Echotz applies to all future generations too. But the Gemara continues asking as we continue to Amud Beis. But what's with Zehad Davar the Rashi Hamatis? It says the same word Zehad Davar in the halacha of the heads of the tribes, where the pasuk says Veidaba Moshe al Rashi Hamatis Levnei Yisrael Lema, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the heads of the tribes, to the Jewish people, saying Zehad Davar Shetziv Hashem. This is the thing that Hashem commanded, which is Ishki Yidinet Devagayma, that if a man will make a vow, that etc. The halachas of the Dharm. So on that, as the Gemara, Hachanami de lo yehei noig, so too that this halacha, which in that context is talking about the halacha of hafaras nadarm, of nullifying a vow, that only applies ela b'derizeh, only in this generation. We don't know that to be that fact. Why would we think that it only applies in that generation? So Amalei, he responded to that question too. He says, no, hahu, that halacha of hafaras nadarm, yalif zeh, we learn out this halacha of where it says zeh, of Hafaras Nadarim, Zeh Mihasam. We learn it out from the Zeh from over there of Shchut Echutz. We're just like over there, we just answered where it says L'day Raisam, so to over here where it says Zeh Hadavar by the halacha of Hafaras Nadarim, that it's also telling us that halacha applies also L'day Raisam all for future generations. So that asked the Gemara, well, if you're doing all this comparing to Shchut Echutz, which says L'day Raisam, even though it says Zeh Hadavar, so in Hainami. So then you should do the same thing for regarding this Isser of transferring inheritance from this daughter's tribe to a different tribe. Lei liv zeh. You should learn out where it says over there, zeh hadavar. Zeh mehasam. From the zeh, which it says over there, b'shchut echutz. And also compare it to there, which is also the derisim. So why are you saying this halacha of transferring the woman, her inheritance to a different tribe, was only for that generation? Why? Learn out the same zereshava to say it's the derisim from b'shchut echutz, just like you answered by Hataras Nadar. And that says the Gemara, no. Hi, Mai. What's the comparison? Bishle Mahasam, we could understand over there by Shchut Echutz, the prohibition of sacrificing a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash. And by Lacha of permitting a vow. The reason why it says Zeh is because Itzruch L'Gzeirah Shavah. It was necessary to make a Gzeirah Shavah, which, as we're going to shortly explain, what was the necessity of comparing these two parishes of Nedarim and Shchut Echutz. So once we know, as we'll explain shortly, why it was necessary to say the Gzeir Shavah and therefore to write the word Zeh in both contexts, so therefore we could already expound the Gzeir Shavah that we're telling you regarding for a different halacha, which is L'day Raisam. Because once we're comparing the two, so we say, just like B'shchut Echutz is L'day Raisam, so to B'ataras Nadarm is L'day Raisam. And the reason why we'll compare it for that too is because there's halacha that says, Eng Gzeir Shavah L'mechza. You can't make a half of Gzeir Shavah. You're comparing it, you compare it for every halacha. However, hacho be here by the halacha of not having the woman marry a man from another tribe. Lamai itzurach, what's it necessary for? In other words, you don't need this word zeh for any other gzeirah shava to expound and to say, oh, once we need to say it, then we'll learn out gzeirah shava from Shchut Echutz to say it also applies to all future generations. Because for that halacha, if you're saying that it would say zeh by hasavas nachla, to say that you should learn as gzeirah shava from Shchut Echutz that applies to all future generations, you can't say that's why I would say it to make that Gzeir Shavah, because for that, you wouldn't need to learn it out. Because then, if that would be why you need it, Lishtei Kraminei, let the Torah just be silent then. Let it not write that whole word Zeh Hadavar at all. V'ano Yadana, and I would know automatically that this halacha of not having a woman transfer her inheritance to a different tribe, that it would be L'day Reis, so that it would apply for all future generations, just like it is by every regular mitzvah. Why would this negative prohibition be any less than any negative prohibition, which applies eternally for the duration of this world? Rather, from the fact that it did say Zeh Hadavar, obviously, as we had said previously, it's coming to be an exclusionary term, which is coming to tell us that this halacha of Asavas Nachal only applies in this generation. Whereas there, it had to say Zeh Hadavar. And because, as the Gemara is going to clarify right now, to teach a different Gzeirah Shavah, oh, once it has to say it, okay, so then we could say that it would be learning out and not be being mamayit other generations. Rather, as we find B'shchut Echutz L'day Raisam Sotu Ataras Nadarim. But by this halacha B'savas Nachla, if you want to say future generations, don't say anything. From the fact that you did say it, and you have no other reason to make a Gzeirah Shavah for anything else, it must be telling us only Zeh, only this generation, but not future generations. Now the Gemara clarifies. So what my Gzeir Shavah? What is this Gzeir Shavah that you said that you already had to learn out Nedarim and Shchut Eichutz one from the other, and so therefore once you're making the Gzeir Shavah, then you could already compare it for all halachas, which is even L'Dereisim for future generations. Says the Gemara, the time like Lina Braisa. Nemar Kan Zehadavah, here it says, this is the thing. B'Nemal Halna says over there, Zehadavah, this is the thing, by both of these parashas. So we make the following Gzeir Shavah. Malahalan, just like over there by Shchut Eichutz, the prohibition of sacrificing a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, where it says over there that you should speak to Aaron, Uvana, B'chol Yisrael, speak to Aaron, his sons, and all the Jewish people. Avkan, so to hear also by the halacha of Nedarim, it's also Aaron, Uvana, B'chol Yisrael, also applies to Aaron, his sons, and to all of the Jewish people, which as the Gemara is going to explain, what halacha does that teach us. Now, the same thing works the other way too. Umakan Rashi Matzah, just like over here by Nedarim, it applies to the heads of the tribes. Aflan, also over there by the halacha of Shchut Eichutz, it's also Rashi Matzah. It also applies to the heads of the tribes, as Gemara is going to shortly explain what is this two-way Gzer Shavah that we're learning at Shchut Eichutz and Hataras Nedarim, one from the other. So that explains the Gemara. Omamar. The Tana of the Braisa said, Malahal and Aaron of Vana B'chol Yisrael, just like over there by Shchut Eichutz, it mentions Aaron and his sons and all the Jewish people. Afkan, Aaron, Avon, B'chol Yisrael. So to over here by Taras Nedarim, it also applies to all the Jewish people. Ask the Gemara, L'may Halchasa. For what halacha do we need by Nedarim that it should apply to Aaron, his sons, and all the Jewish people? I mean, not only Aaron, who's the judge, who teaches Torah, but even all the Jewish people, what does that come to teach us? So Amar Vacham Yaakov, Loimritz comes to tell you, Shafaras Nedarim, that the nullification of vows is B'shleish Shehed Yaitis. Could even be with three common people. Because the pasuk says lo yachal devare, a person cannot just profane his vow, which tells us he cannot nullify his vow, but others could permit it for him. For example, three people who they qualify to be a bezdin, be a court of law, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, which you need three people to be a court. Now, as Rashbam says, even according to Shmuel, it says over there that actually, if two people judge a court case, their judge is a judgment, and they're just called what's called a bezdin chatzav, an audacious court. Says Rashbam, even he would agree that's only regarding monetary law. But to permit the prohibition of a neder, it wouldn't be any less than three. And it's for that that the Brayis is saying that the Gzeir Shavah helps to tell us, as if it had written in the parasha of Nedarim, Aaron Avon B'chol Yisrael, to tell you that all of the Jewish people are the equivalent, even if they're common people, like Aaron Avon, to go ahead and be matur that person's Nedarim. Now, as the Gemara, but what Rashi Matas Ksiv Beba, how could you say that you could even have three common people be matir the neder, but in the parasha of Ataras Nedarim, it says it has to be the heads of the tribes, which sounds like they have to be mumchen, that they have to be professionals in the halachas, in the intricacies of Nedarim. Says the Gemara, because actually, no, there's two halachas. Ked Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yechanan, that he tells us in a different context later on in the sugya, that is toma b'yachad mumcha, by an individual who is well-versed. So to answer our question, we're talking about an individual that's well-learned in Gemara. In other words, he's a teacher that is professional in this area of halacha. Which, yeah, it's both. You could have three common people, but if you want to have one, then he has to be a yachad mumcha. Now, says Rashbam, although actually it says Rashi Hamatis, which would sound like a plural, and that says Rashbam, that means to say, in general, the mumchin that there are, but you don't need more than one, you could have just one mumcha. So that's what we learn out, the halacha of Hataras Nedarim from Shchut Eichutz. But then the Gemara continues like Omamar, which is going back to the Braisa, the Gzeir Shavah we said goes the other way too. Umakan, Rashi Matas, just like over here by Hataras Nedarim, it says the heads of the tribes. Aflahal and Rashi Matas, so too over there by the halacha of Shchut Eichutz, it applies to the heads of the tribes. So ask the Gemara, Lamai Helchasa, for what halacha actually do you need the heads of tribes by the prohibition of slaughtering a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash? And Adam Rav Cheshis, he says, Leime, it comes to tell you, Shiesh She'ela B'Hekdash, that one could ask and undo the halachas of Hekdash, just like there's the halacha of asking and undoing by Nedarim. Which just like by Nedarim, it says, L'yachal Devar, you cannot profane your words, which we darshan, he cannot, but others could do it for him. The same thing applies to all sanctified things, which is, let's say someone slaughtered a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, and because of that, he's Chayev Karas, but then he went subsequently to a sage who permitted and undid that sanctity of that animal that he slaughtered, And how he did that was because he finds an opening of regret, which he thus retroactively uproots the sanctity from its inception that it had, and he makes it almost like it was a mistake in Hekdesh. So retroactively it was revealed that the animal that he slaughtered was really never Hekdesh, and then that exempts him from Karis, which the same thing would apply to any sanctified thing that happens through a person's verbalization of it. For example, when they make something truma, when they make something meiser, where if a person wants to, he could go and ask a sage to undo it, and it goes back to its untithe status, as the Gemara Nedarim explains in the Daf Testament Aleph. So that's what Rav Sheshet says. That's the halacha that you're learning out, just like Ba'ataras Nedarim. Yes, you have this halacha of Yochid Mumcha, who could be matter that there is She'ela. That's what we learn, that Shechut Eichutz actually has the same halacha, because you could go ahead and undo that Hekdesh and thus be exempt from the Issa of Shechut Eichutz. Now, however, on this answer of Sheish, the Gemara asks, but according to Beishamai, that says that you never have this option of undoing a Hekdesh. Even if the sage finds an opening of regret, he cannot permit it, because even though he'll be retroactively uprooting the vow from its inception, and he's going to make it like as if the neder was made in error, even so, Beishamai hold that by Hekdesh, you don't say that. Because Beishamai, as we'll shortly explain, holds that even if you, in total error, made something Hekdesh, which was known to the one who sanctified it, that it's still going to be considered Hekdesh totally, according to Beishamai. For sure, when he made the thing Hekdesh, was not in a mistake. We're just finding an opening of regret that the sage will find for him, will not go ahead and permit that thing of Hekdesh. So that's what the Gemara's question is. According to Beishamai, obviously that's not what the Gezeir Shavah could be teaching, because he doesn't hold that there is such halacha of Sheila beHekdesh. How do we know this? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, which in the beginning of a parak of Masechtas Nazir, that says as follows. Beishamai say, Hekdesh Tos, erroneous Hekdesh. As the Gemara there explains, actually, what would the case be? For example, let's say someone says, the black ox that will come out of my house first is going to be Hekdesh. Now, actually, a white ox ends up coming out. Beishamai say, that ox is Hekdesh. Beishamai say, it's not Hekdesh. Now, the Gemara explains over there, what's the reason of Beishamai? What do you mean? It's totally mistaken. It's not what he had said. It's because he learns out what's called Tchilas Hekdesh, the original sanctification of something, from Seif Hekdesh. What's Seif Hekdesh? Just like the halachas of Temura, which is the end of Hekdesh, when you already sanctified something and you want to transfer to something else. The halacha, as the Torah tells us, is even by toos, even by a mistake. So to even the beginning of Hekdesh is also by a total mistake, where a person didn't even want it in the first place. Bishil, however, hold, no, that halacha only applies by the halacha of Temura, but to create an original, initial sanctification of Hekdesh, that cannot be done in toos. So, Beishamai, however, hold, as the Mishnah, as we're quoting, says, Hekdesh. It will be Hekdesh. So therefore, what the Gemara's question basically is, that since Beishamai holds that by Hekdesh, even though it was in total error, that it's still going to be Hekdesh, for sure, Beishamai is going to hold that any Hekdesh that was originally sanctified, not an error, for example, when he says that this ox should be Hekdesh, that later on the Chacham cannot come ahead and find some regret to then undo it and make it into Chulin, because the most that really a Chacham does is he just makes it into Hekdesh Tos. And the halacha for Beishamai, Hekdesh Tos, is Hekdesh. Now, whereas according to Beis Hillel, regarding when you make something in total error, you didn't intend this to be at all, you said a black ox and it turns out it's a white one, Basil holds you actually don't even need She'ela. You don't have to go to a sage and undo it, because he himself knows he did not intend to make this into Hekdesh. But again, according to Beishamai, that does consider total Hekdesh, obviously that the She'elas Chacham doesn't even help. So that's Beishamai. Basil Aymrim ain't a Hekdesh. Basil says that no, it's not going to be Hekdesh, as we said before, he holds you don't have to do She'ela on it, you don't have to do anything, it doesn't have any sanctity whatsoever. So ask the Gemara, so according to this idea that we know the Beishamai does not hold the Sheila Behekdesh, so then we're back to the question. Hai Zeh, this Zeh that it says by Shechut Eichutz, the Zeh, and this Zeh that it says by Rashi Amatis, which we can't be saying that it's coming to exclude future generations because we said it actually is L'dayraisam, so then Mai Avdilei. So then what exactly does Beishamai use to expound those words for? And that is because since Beishamai does not hold of She'ela Behekdesh, so therefore by default he can't have this Gezeir Shabbat that we said before of Zeh Zeh at all. Where, as Rashbam explains, even to do it one side, that Gezeir Shabbat, to learn out Nedarim from Shechut Eichutz to say that it would apply Aaron Levana B'chol B'nei Yisrael to Hataras Nedarim, that it could be even with three common people, you can't, because you can't make a half-baked Gezeir Shabbat, which would say that it's only working one way and not the other way. because if it's a full gzeirah shava, then Rashi Matas, which is she'ela, would apply behektish, but Bishamah says clearly she'ela does not apply behektish. And then the Gemara later on is going to ask, so then actually, where do you know this halacha of hedyaitis that it applies by ataras nadarim according to Bishamah? So that's the Gemara's question. According to Bishamai, so what does he do with this zeb by each one? It's obviously not to teach Gzeirah Shavah, so what's it coming to teach us? So says the Gemara, since it's not coming to exclude future generations, which it does in our context, which that's why we started this whole conversation by Sabas Nachla, comes to teach the following halachas. Zeh ha-david ha-shchut ha-ichot mi-boyle. It's not for Gzeirah Shavah of zeh. Each one comes to exclude, yes, zeh is an excluding terminology. Each one comes to exclude something in its own context. When it says, this is the thing by the halacha of sacrificing out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's coming to tell you, ala sheikhid, regarding someone who slaughters outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where huchayev, that's where he's liable for karis, for dying at a young age, where he gets cut off from the source, is whatever slaughtering he does, even if he slaughters a bird of kachim out of the Beis HaMikdash, as is taught in the Brais and Teres Kainim, and the Gemara Zavachim, Daf Kav Zayin and Aleph, from oy asher yishachet, or if he's going to slaughter. But what Zeh is coming to exclude, but ve'ein chayev ala moilik. But he's not going to be liable if he does one of the avoidis of a bird carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Was actually, they didn't slaughter it. They did what's called malika, where the kohen would take his thumb and had a long fingernail there, and he would cut off the neck that way by the nape. That if he does that avoida outside, for that he's not going to be chayev karas. Because that's what the word zeh comes to tell us. Like that which is explicitly said in the parsha, that's going to be chayev, where the pasuk only says ki yishchid, that he's going to slaughter, but not if he does malika. Whereas, according to Beis Hillel, explains the Rashbam, that he expounds the Gzeirah Shavah, so where does he know this halacha from? He can't use Zeh to exclude it, because he already uses Zeh for the Gzeirah Shavah. He learns it out, whereas it's taught in Teres Kainim, where it says, Tamalama Ash Yishachid, which is that he's going to be liable for the slaughtering, and he's not going to be liable for the malika. Now, that's for the Zehadavar of Shchut Echutz. Now, Zehadavar, the Rashi Matzmi, but he also needs the excluding terminology of this is the thing for the heads of the tribes by Hataras Nedarim, which comes to teach us L'chacham Matter. It's only for a Chacham that he can use the terminology of what's called Mutalach, Mutalach. Now, the reason is because the Pasuk says, Lo Yachal Devar, a person cannot profane his own vow, which teaches us this halacha that we mentioned before that he cannot, but others could forgive it for him. Now, the reason is that the Rabbanan understand from the word Lo Yachal, which is but a person that could do it, which is the judge, he could be materit. Where do you see the terminology of materit? So Rashbam explains the logic is because a sage does not have to permit it only on the day that he hears the vow, like a husband. A husband, even without any reasoning, any rationale, could just nullify the vow. A chacham, the way he does it is, no, he finds some form of regret and thus retroactively uproots the neder. So therefore, it does not apply the terminology of hafara by the chacham, rather terminology of hatara. Because what he's doing is he's taking something that was forbidden, which was a real vow, and he's being matrid by teaching and showing a full-fledged claim to show that, no, you never really meant it, you never really wanted it. But by a husband, he's mefer for his wife, b'yayim shama, even without regret. That's the gzeiras hakasev, like, for example, it says in Devarim Laman Aleph, v'hafer es brisi, which is anything that is substantive, that gets uprooted and voided without any reason, is called hafara. So that's the angle of how a husband does it. A chacham has to be matrid. It really is something forbidden, but he permits it, he shows why it really was never meant to be. So that's what we learn now. When it says zeh hadavar, this is the thing which tells us that, yeah, only a chacham could do hataras nadarm. But ve'im bal matar, a husband cannot do hataras nadarm. He cannot do it after the day that he heard it. He can't find an angle. That's not his arena. And same thing is in the reverse. Bal mefer ve'ein chacham mefer. Only the husband could do what's called hafaras nadarm. Just void it because I don't want it. I don't have to give any reasons. It was a real vow, but I'm just being mefered, at least if it's on the day that I heard it. And the husband could do that, but a chacham cannot do that. In other words, if the chacham would say mufar lach, not mutar lach, but mufar lach, it's like he didn't say anything, because that's what we learn now from, according to Bishami, from zehadavar, which tells us that Dover could also mean besides thing, it could mean dibur, that this is the speech, how it's written in the Torah, it has to be exactly this way. which is for this one with the terminology of a Torah, and this one with the terminology of a Farah. And that's actually how the Gemara says it in the Durm Daf Ein Zayin Mabez. Rabbi Yechanan says that the Chacham has to, if the Chacham says in the terminology of the husband, or the husband says in the terminology of the Chacham, he hasn't said anything. As it taught in the Braisa, Zehadavar, where the Chacham is Matar and the husband's not Matar, so too in the different Braisa, where it says the Baal's Mefer and the Chacham's not Mefer. So that's what Bishamay does with Zehadava of Hataras Nadarm. Now, according to Bishilim, what does he know it for? As we said, he already used it for the Gzeirah Shavah. So he knows it from logic, as we said before, because by the Chacham, it makes sense there would be a terminology of permitting, because that's what he does. He finds an angle, he finds the opening of Charata, and by the husband, it makes sense. Hafara would make sense to say someone just voiding it, but he doesn't need to use it from the terminology of Zeh, which says this and not the other one. He already knows it just from logic. So that's how the Gemara resolves, where we said, although Zehadava means this generation by Hasabas Nachla, where the woman's not allowed to get married to a man from a different tribe, not for future generations, and although it says Zehadava also by Shchut Dechutz and by Taras Nadarm, that we say either they're used for Gzeirah Shavah, and not to exclude future generations. To the contrary, Taras Nadarm is learned out from Shchut Dechutz, besides the regular Gzeirah Shavah, also for Ladei Raisam, or it's used for, like Bishami says, for each one, excluding in this context, a different halacha where it says Zehadavar, but it's not being used to say only this generation and not future generations.